Power up your profits.
Power up your profits.
And have a store chock full of customers. You're about to discover the no-nonsense secrets to making jewelers more successful.
More successful.
This is Inside the Jewelry Trade with Rod Worley.
Hello and welcome to Inside the Jewelry Trade radio show. I'm your host, Rod Worley, and this is the radio show devoted to jewelry store owners, the jewelry trade, and those who want to get a rare glimpse behind the curtain into the $70 billion a year U.S. jewelry and watch industry. We give you access to jewelry designers, vendors, successful store owners, and those who have the proven expertise you need to move your jewelry business forward right now. The bottom line, this online radio show is for those in the jewelry trade who expect more from their business and want to cut through the clutter to find out what really works. Welcome to the 26th episode of Inside the Jewelry Trade radio show. You know, it's not every day that you meet someone who lives in the world of luxury, but can also be found scouring the planet for untapped gem resources in some of the most remote and dangerous areas of the world. And that's a part of why we wanted her on the show, and why we want her as the third and final installment in our designer series. Now, as you recall, we started this series with the 2015 Women's Jewelry Association Excellence in Design Award winner, Pamela Froman, followed by the legendary award-winning designer, Todd Reed, who was the winner of two straight Best of Show Awards at the American Gem Trade Association's Annual Spectrum Awards. And now, we're excited to be bringing you Rough to Runway jewelry designer and gem hunter, Diane Robinson. Diane Robinson is the co-designer and entrepreneur extraordinaire behind the Huntress luxury jewelry line. The Huntress line of gemstone jewelry and handbags offer some of the most rare and beautiful gemstones in stunning settings and pairings. It's easy to see why so many in the jewelry trade are excited about having the chance to carry her one-of-a-kind designs. Huntress accentuates the best that their gems have to offer. Amethyst, sapphire, emeralds, and more in beautiful cuffs, necklaces, and even in clutches that glimmer, not only because of the gems, but also from the stingray leather. The collection also has some bohemian aspects of it, where the gems are left in their natural state instead of being cut into expected designs. But before we sit down and talk to Diane, let's take a break for a word from our sponsor so we can talk to Diane without interruption. See you on the other side of the break.
Attention jewelry store owners, check out fourgrainer.com and discover how to get your store heaving with customers and build wealth the easy way.
We've got a full range of programs to re-energize your jewelry business. Everything from social marketing to one-on-one consulting and everything in between.
Go to fourgrainer.com today.
Welcome back from the break. Today, we're excited to have jewelry designer, gem hunter, and co-star of the Gem Hunt television show, Diane Robinson, on the show today. The Huntress Collection is a natural evolution born out of the gem hunting adventures of Diane Robinson and Ron LeBlanc. The collection itself is a luxury line of rare gemstone jewelry and handbags that embodies boldness, strength, animalistic vibrance, and raw beauty. Diane, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and it's great to be part of the show.
For me, the obvious first question would be, how do you make the transition from an MBA, where you specialized in luxury management from the International University of Monaco, to searching for rare gems in some of the most remote and dangerous areas in the world?
Well, I was actually in Monaco doing my MBA in luxury to market gemstones. I'm business partners with Ron LeBlanc, who's a gem hunter, and I was working with him on the side, helping to sell his gemstones and working with private clients, setting jewelry collections for them. So I wanted to take it to the next level, and I thought the best way to market gemstones, which of course are luxury items, would be to get an MBA focusing on luxury.
I've watched your television show, Gem Hunt, on the Travel Channel Network. I've got to tell you, it opened the eyes of many people into what it really takes to find exquisite gemstones. How did the show develop, and what did you like most about the experience?
Well, the Travel Channel actually contacted Ron because they know of his gem hunting trips, and he's done some small things on the internet and had written some pieces. So when they contacted him about the show, he said, well, if I'm going to go out in the field, I have to take my team with me. And that would consist of myself, who's more of an expert in the marketing and the selling of gemstones, and then Bernie Gabbery, who's on the show, and he's a geologist. So he's, you know, Ron likes to have Bernie in the field to help identify stones and see their worth. So for Ron, he said, if I'm going in the field, I'm just going to take my team. And for me, it was a great experience. I've spent a lot of time in Madagascar with Ron in the past hunting for different gemstones, but having the opportunity to go to 14 different countries in a year and a half, you know, was amazing. And it gave me an opportunity to be out on the street haggling for different stones. I'd mainly worked with sapphires in Madagascar, but we were getting aquamarine in Brazil. We were getting, you know, imperial topaz, emeralds, all different stones. So it was really a great opportunity, you know, to go to all these different countries, see the different cultures, you know, see the gemstones that they had to offer.
The Huntress line of luxury jewelry and handbags is both bold and in many ways, it's empowering. What was your inspiration for the collection and what's the backstory on the name?
The ethos behind the line is Diana the Huntress, the Greek goddess. Now, it also helps that my name is Diane. So when I was out in the field, Ron was known as the gem hunter. So I took on the term gem huntress. So the name for the jewelry line just evolved from that. I called myself the Huntress when I was out in the field. And I also thought that would be a great name for the jewelry line because our pieces are big, they're strong, they're bold. You know, they're pieces that a huntress would wear. And when I was a young girl, actually, my hero was Wonder Woman. I actually had glasses, the whole bit. I used to like to spin around. So a lot of my pieces, you know, when you see the cuffs, you think, oh, those could be Wonder Woman cuffs because they are, you know, the big, strong, bold pieces.
You actually have a dedicated design team for your international brand. Can you share the process from inspiration to sketch to final product?
Well, in our line, the designers are Ron and myself, and we also have a fabulous designer, Marta Bordes. And what we do with Marta, she lives in Greece, and we send her the stones that we've sourced, and she creates her own design. She's an artist. Her brother is a sculptor. So she takes the stones and creates her own designs from them. And her inspirations come from the sky and the water and the environment. So that's quite evident in her designs, but they're still in line with the sort of the ethos of Huntress. For Ron and myself, the pieces are really all about the gemstones. It's our love of the gemstones, the love of rough stones. So when we set our pieces, we have them done in Bangkok. And we worked with a few select jewelry designers over there. And we sit with them and we say what stones we want to highlight, all put together some stones. So it's quite collaborative, but really the basis of the pieces is all about the gemstones. And what we love to do is combine cut and rough. You know, a lot of designers, I think, use a lot of cut stones, which is lovely. But when you cut a stone, you lose so much of it. So, you know, I love to use the big, rough crystals. It makes for a bigger piece. It's a statement piece. And you get to see the stone is sort of in its natural element, which is something I love.
Diane, it seems your luxury jewelry line is everywhere, from the runways of Toronto to New York and Milan. You've recently been working with a clothing designer, Nicholas Kay. So, what's it like to be on those famous designer runways? And how did that relationship with Nicholas Kay start? And as a follow-up question, have you thought about exhibiting at some U.S. shows, such as JCK Vegas or the Tucson Gem Show?
Well, we launched the Huntress line at the Toronto Fashion Week last year. For us, I wanted to do my big launch in Toronto because that's where Ron and I are based. And that was a great experience for us. It was the first time, you know, that we got a lot of press. We were in magazines. We were the only jewelry company to be on the runway in that show. So that was great. And then how it worked out, we ended up teaming up with Nicholas Kay and going on the runway with them in New York and Milan. And it just happened that we had someone working with us in social media that knew them. And their whole philosophy was the urban nomad. And she thought it was a nice fit with our jewelry, the Huntress. You know, it was a bit bold pieces, a little bit dystopic. So she introduced us and, you know, we met and it just went from there. And the first pieces we designed, they were a little bit different than our regular Huntress line because we feature more precious gemstones such as, you know, emeralds, rubies, sapphires, aquamarine. They wanted some more rough black stones in their collection. So we worked with, you know, a lot of spinel. not as precious gemstones price-wise. When you design pieces for a runway, they're not maybe the ones you're going to sell in the boutique because, you know, the armbands were about, you know, 8 inches long. The neck pieces were really dramatic. But, you know, that's what looks great in a runway, and that translated well to be in magazines.
I really like your tagline, which is from rough to runway. Now, there are several distinct advantages for retailers who carry your line. Can you share a few of those advantages, and could you also describe the breadth of assortment?
Well, I think one of the big advantages is that the gemstones in our pieces, you know, they're all going to be authentic. Ron and I have gone to the source and we've hunted these stones ourselves. So, you know, we bought them from the miners. We have our stones cut by the Wabito brothers. They're in North America, a couple of the best cutters. So, you know, the product is authentic. But not only that, our pieces come steeped with story. So when someone wants to sell a piece, I can tell, you know, a retailer where we got every stone. For example, you know, maybe I bought the stone in Brazil while I was sitting on a park bench and someone was selling me aquamarine. So the nice thing is that every piece is really steeped in story. Another great thing is because we actually go to the source to get the stones, there's no middleman. So even though the pieces are luxury pieces, there's gemstones in them, they are pricey. They're going to be less pricey than, say, stones perhaps from another designer who's had to use a middleman, because we can cut out a lot of the costs because we go right to the source. So I think people who buy or people who are selling our brand, you know, you're getting a piece that has a story, you're getting, you know, it's authentic, and you know that, you know, the price is going to be right because we've gone and sourced the gems ourselves. I've been to the Tucson Gem Show a couple of times. Now, I haven't, but I've gone just to walk around and, you know, meet the other dealers and, you know, see stones that are being sold. So I've gone for pure interest, not selling. But I'm hoping this year that I will be able to go to the Tucson Gem Show. I'd love to be an exhibitor there. I'd love to be, you know, selling stones, showing my product. So if it's at all possible, I am going to be at the Tucson Gem Show.
Your Huntress line has a strong following internationally. How do you see the collection evolving in the near future in terms of design and depth? And are there any plans to expand your U.S. market with more independent retailers or perhaps a Neiman Marcus level entry?
Well, of course, my dream would be to be in Neiman Marcus. I think that would be the dream of a lot of jewelry designers. Right now, we are in a couple of boutiques in the States, and as well, I'm selling on my website, which is huntress.com. I do want to expand and to get into more boutiques. We're working on that right now. And what we've been doing in the past, we created a lot of pieces in the line. So now is the time that we've been choreographing our line a little more, you know, pruning things down, taking out some things that perhaps weren't right with the ethos of the line. So I think we're at a place right now where we have a very, you know, firmly established line. We know our vision. We know who we are. So the next step for us will be getting into those boutiques and hopefully getting a Neiman Marcus.
Diane, you once said, "The only blood on our gems is our own." Gem origin and ethically acquiring gemstones is a hot topic, as it should be for all of us in the jewelry trade. You have actually been there in those mining districts and have first-hand experience with this important topic. In fact, in many ways, you are on the forefront of ethically sourcing gemstones. Why is this so important to both you and your clients?
Well, it's very important to Ron and I that when we buy our gemstones, we're buying them from the miners. Of course, yes, we get a better price when we buy them from the miners. But the point is, you actually see where the gems are mined and how they're mined, and you meet the miners. A lot of times, miners are actually small farmers, and you know, they'll have a small plot of land that they're using to feed their family, and they're doing mining as well. You know, and it's great when you can actually buy a stone from, you know, a small miner. You know, you're giving them money, you know it's going towards their family, it's going to be buying their family food, maybe going towards their children's education. There's no broker in between. And it's funny because a lot of times when people watch the show, they see that we get a really great deal and they think, oh, are you, you know, maybe abusing these people? You could pay more. But the funny thing is, the local miners like to deal with people like Ron and I because we actually pay them more than the brokers. Like, they've even said to us, we want to sell to you because the broker's there all the time and can drive down the price and force them to buy, you know, at a lower price, whereas we give them a little more money. Consumers are aware. And, you know, if they can buy something that's ethically sourced, that they know they're getting a great deal and a beautiful piece, but at the same time, they're helping someone out, I think everybody now wants to help other people. I think it's, you know, people are aware of what's going on. There's a conscious level there. And I think for everyone, it's just a win-win situation if you can get the money to the small miner who's actually digging out the gemstones.
You're a consummate world traveler and have a chance to see jewelry designs from every part of the planet. Have any international styles caught your eye? And do you see them catching on here in North America?
Well, one thing that I've noticed is particularly when I'm in the Middle East is the love of color gemstones, which is, of course, perfect for Ron and I. Because I find still in North America, there is a tendency for people when they're going to buy something to perhaps go for the diamond engagement ring, the diamond earrings. I shouldn't confess this, but I'm wearing diamond earrings right now. But when you go to other countries, especially the Middle East, you know, there's vibrant colors, the rubies, the emeralds, the sapphires, and you can see that there's a real love of color. And I think that's slowly, you know, making its way into North America. Now people are not just buying diamond engagement rings. They're buying engagement rings with ruby center stones, sapphires, or emeralds. So I think there's going to be the trend towards colored gemstones, you know, is going to continue on. Another thing that I always think is interesting about traveling, I spend a lot of time in Bangkok, which of course has always been the center for gemstones. But because the gemstones are there, there's so many fabulous designers there. You know, and there was a time when as soon as something hit the runway, whether it was purse or clothing, you know, unfortunately it was usually being maybe, you know, knocked off in Bangkok. So the people in Bangkok understand luxury. They understand manufacturing. And now they're at a point where they're actually introducing their own artistic designs. So when I walk around the jewelry centers in Bangkok, I'm amazed. There's just rows and rows of fantastic designers. You know, I'm almost overwhelmed. You go in and you see all the gemstones and all the fabulous designs and you think, how can I compete with this? But it really is an inspiration to go and see some of the designers in Bangkok.
Diane, we have covered a lot of ground today. But is there one question that I should have asked you, but didn't?
I think maybe you should ask me what my favorite gemstone is.
Oh, Diane, what is your favorite gemstone?
Well, I know I'm not supposed to have a favorite, but of course I do. And that would be aquamarine. I love the blue color. Even when it's more tending towards green beryl, it can be green, it can be light blue, deep blue. And as a designer, one of the reasons I love it is because, you know, it's so versatile. You can wear an aquamarine ring with a t-shirt and jeans, or you can wear it with a black cocktail dress. And the other thing is because it's not, say, as pricey as ruby or sapphire, and it comes in large sizes, then you can have a big piece. I like to go out with a big honking cocktail ring, and I have one in aquamarine. Or I can take big chunks of rough aquamarine and put them on my cuffs. So they're large statement pieces. So I think for all the stones, it might not be the most expensive, but I love the blue color and I love that it's so versatile. More often than not, you'll see me walking around with a piece of aqua somewhere.
I never would have guessed that.
Really?
No, I wouldn't have guessed aquamarine. I just wouldn't have guessed that.
Pink sapphire too, but there was, you know what, the aquamarine, my love of aqua developed when I was actually in the field gem hunting. And it probably started in Brazil when we were getting these big bags of, you know, rough aquamarine. I remember I bought a parcel sitting on a park bench in a little town in Brazil. Bernie, Ron, and I were there, you know, sipping coconut milk. And this man came up with a parcel and I ended up buying it for $1,200. And I used those pieces to put in jewelry, you know, and it was just beautiful. And then when we were in Mozambique, I found this parcel. It was actually on the gem hunting show of double blue aqua. It was unheated. It was the bluest aqua, you know, we'd ever seen. It was stunning. I think the whole parcel cost me $80,000. Very pricey, but it was, you know, the most beautiful blue I'd ever seen. So I snapped that up and we're cutting it here in Toronto and you're setting it in rings and it's just beautiful.
I would have guessed tanzanite or pink sapphire.
Now, okay, I love them all. Another stone I do love is pink sapphire. Now, in our Huntress line, pink is our signature color. And, you know, the inside of our cuffs, if they're leather, it's always done in fuchsia leather. We've made bags. The inside of the bags are always pink leather or fuchsia leather. And on our zipper tags, I always have a little pink sapphire. And on my logo, which is a bow and arrow, I've got little pink sapphires. And that's sort of in deference to the pink sapphires in Madagascar, where Ron and I originally started in the gem hunting game. You know, the pink sapphires of Alakaka, you know, are famous. They're fantastic. We were working with a deposit just outside of Alakaka. So because of the pink sapphire, that became my signature color on my logo on the inside of the bags. But when I'm out wearing a stone on the town, it'll probably be aquamarine.
Diane, thank you for taking time with us today. If people wanted more information about you or acquiring rare gemstones or your Huntress line of gemstone jewelry and handbags, where should they go?
Well, my website is huntress.com. And from that website, you can buy all the jewelry and the handbags are on the website. Of course, if you want to buy gemstones, Ron's website is gemhunter.com. But they're linked. You can jump back and forth between the two websites. I do have a Twitter account and an Instagram account. And those are both at the Gem Huntress. I'm also on Pinterest at the Gem Huntress. And right through the Huntress website, if someone wants to contact me, we have a contact form. They can just send me a note that goes directly to my cell phone. And I always respond to everybody. I'm always happy to talk to people who have a love of gemstones or a love of jewelry or, you know, a love of traveling to exotic places. So I'm very easy to reach and I, you know, love to get in contact with people.
Once again, thank you, Diane, for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Well, that's our show for today. Just want to remind you that all the resources and links for this episode can be found on our show notes at fourgrainer.com. You simply click on Inside the Jewelry Trade, Episode 26, Diane Robinson, Huntress Jewelry Designer, and everything is right there for you. We take all the notes. But before we close today, I just want to remind you of our free Inside the Jewelry Trade radio show app you can download for your phone or tablet. Just go to the iTunes Store for Apple products or the Google Play Store for Android devices and enter Inside the Jewelry Trade radio show into the search bar. The app is free and it ensures you always get our latest episodes and bonus material. And as always, if you really enjoyed the show, then please do something special for a young child in need and send a tax-deductible donation to the Jewelers for Children charity. We really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to listen to our show. I'm your host, Rod Worley. Until next time, take care.
This has been Inside the Jewelry Trade with Rod Worley.
Proven advice for jewelry store owners that's as good as money in the bank.
See 4grainer.com for more tested strategies on getting more customers through your door and more cash in your pocket.